go into our message now. We've been talking about heaven, and we're going to continue on that topic of heaven and discussing the New Jerusalem that is coming down. I guess people love to explore. You know, it's kind of one of the characteristics of people. When you're young, you start out excited about everything. You know, everything is new and exciting, and you want to learn about all kinds of new and exciting things. And even when you start out in school, it's kind of exciting because it's new and thrilling. And by the time you get to about third grade, it kind of, you know, starts to get, oh man, I've already gone over all this stuff, and it gets a little older, you know, and we kind of lose the excitement of that. But there are people who, you know, kind of continue on with that. They have that desire to see what's on the other side of the hill, what's on the other side of the wall. They want to know what's new and exciting and learn some new thing. We had explorers that went out over the world. We had people that came to our country. We had folks who, you know, took out over the prairies. We just kind of like to explore and find new things and discover what's there. Well, you know, the Bible reveals to us some truths about heaven, and it talks to us about what that new Jerusalem is going to be like. And I thought it would be nice if we just maybe explored that city a little bit. Kind of take a mind's eye tour, as you would, of what that place might be like and see what that new Jerusalem will be like as we go there. One thing we are told of this city is that it is a city that is incomparably beautiful. Now, in the book of Luke in chapter 19, we are told that there will be other cities on the earth during the time when the New Jerusalem is there and what we think of as heaven, which we remind you is that New Jerusalem which sits upon the earth. So the totality of those things are what make up heaven. But in Luke chapter 19 and verse 17, it says to us, "And he said unto him, Well, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful over very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said unto him, Be thou over 5 cities. Now, here we are told that part of the reward that faithful servants of the Lord receive is that they will be given rule over various cities in the new, in the heaven, in the new earth. And so there will certainly be other cities besides the New Jerusalem. Yet, this city is the home of the King of the Kings. It is the home of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the ruler of the universe. It is the home of God. It will shine, we are told, like jasper. In chapter 21 of Revelation, Revelation 21 and verse 11, it gives description of the city, and it tells us that this city will have the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, I'm not exactly sure what all that means, exactly what kind of colors that will be. I've seen jasper stones, you know, and I know what kind of light that they can reflect off and how, you know, that the spectrum of light comes off and what it does and the beauty of that, and that's certainly a very beautiful thing. But it says it is even clear as a crystal. Imagine what it will be like to live in a city that just glows with a glorious light. A city that's not dark and dank and dirty and disgusting, but a city that is beautiful and shining and bright and full of rainbows of colors. I'm amazed at what it will look like. We are told of the building materials that are made up of this city. It says then, verse 18 of chapter 21 there, that the building of the wall was of jasper. The city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. Can you imagine gold that is clear, that you can look through? Gold that is so transparent, so pure, that we can actually see right through it. It's hard to imagine such a thing. I know on the astronauts, on their face shield that they wore, their face shield was actually covered in a thin layer of gold. And there was a reason for that, because of the lack of atmosphere that was there in the space and on the moon, when they would be facing the sun, the intensity of the sun's rays would burn them and damage their eyes and things. And so to prevent that, they found the best material was a very thin sheet of gold, because you can beat gold down into really, really thin sheets, and cover their face so that the light would hit the gold and reflect back, and yet they were able to actually see through that gold. So maybe it'll be something like that. I don't know. But we'll be able to see through this gold, clear as crystal. Amazing. A city that is made of beautiful stones, made of gold. The gates are of a single pearl, it says there in verse 21. It has 12 gates, and they are each made of a pearl. We've talked about these gates before in the distance. They're probably 300 miles distant. The city is enormous in its size. And so here we have gates that are made out of a giant pearl. Can you imagine a gate made out of one pearl? I don't know if you've ever seen a pearl cut in half, but it's not a consistent single color. There are bands of color that go through it from the different minerals that were deposited in the water at the time as it's placed over that grain of sand or irritant that causes that pearl to grow. And so you have these bands of beautiful color which will flow through as the light strikes onto that beautiful pearl. I mean, what a city that will be. Won't be old, ugly iron gates or wooden bars. A city made out of, with gates of pearl, with walls of precious stones, with streets made out of gold. This is a beautiful place, a place that is hard to even put into our mind's eye. But that will be that city in that day. Now, as I thought about that gate of pearl, this thought came to my mind. It's not really in the text, but, you know, a pearl comes about because an oyster gets an irritant. Something has to cause it great suffering. And so it begins to grow that pearl over top of that irritant. And so the way into the city is through suffering. And who was it that suffered for us but the Lord Jesus? Christ is the one who suffered in our place. He's the one that took our penalty and suffered for us. And because he died upon that cross to pay our penalty, we have access into that throne. We have access into heaven. And even in heaven, the way in is symbolized through the way of suffering. There is no way unto God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never trusted him. Today would be that day to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. For he tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And those that call upon him, he shall in no wise cast out. You will be allowed into that city, marching through those streets, on those streets of gold, through those gates of pearl. And so it's an incomparably beautiful city. It's also incomparably satisfying. In chapter 22, beginning of verse 1, he says, and he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And so here you have something satisfying. It has the river of life. We have to have life. We have to have water in order to have life. If you don't drink, eventually you pass away rather quickly. You have to have water. Water is an absolute essential. And there in heaven, we have that water provided for us in abundance. It flows freely and clearly out of the throne of God. Now to us here in Maryland, who live amongst water everywhere, and, you know, rains a lot, and, you know, we just went through one of the rainiest months we've ever had. You know, water is not really that big up there on the list of us, you know. We're just don't really appreciate it. Most of the time we're thinking, I wish the ground would dry up so I don't have to slosh through the mud. But remember, this was written to in the day in which the people were largely around the Mediterranean. in a region of the world in which they get a monsoon, where there are months where there is no rain, and then there's a period of rain. And so to them, having a perpetual flow of water was a wonderful and glorious thing. Having water that was always available, never having a season of dryness when the rivers would dry up and there would be no water, was a wonderful and glorious thing. And so here there is a city that has, in the midst of this city, in heaven, there will be a river which is flowing from the midst of the throne of God. And it will flow through this city. It flows out of the very throne of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. It's symbolizing, I think, for us the fact that He is the source of life and as well of natural beauties. I mean, we still like to go and look at water, don't we? Try to buy a piece of property on the water and find out. You know, it's a little bit more expensive, isn't it? Why? Because people like to stare out at the water. Well, you know, in heaven, we're going to have a river. Natural beauty will flow through that city. A river that we can look at. The very city of New Jerusalem is going to have natural waters. This river, I think, also speaks of life. For on the either side of it says, there is the tree of life. Now, the tree is singular, but the trees are on either side, so I have to figure that there's more than one tree. And the trees line the river. And it says that the tree produces 12 manner of fruit, that the fruit comes different every month. And so from there, from this city, there will be this abundance of water, which we will be free to drink whenever we want. And along the sides of it, there are these trees of life. And these trees of life, we can eat and know that we will live forever. It takes care of whatever needs we have. And it says the leaves are for the healing of the nations. All of the troubles and all of the difficulties will be removed. The nations will be healed. There will no longer be strife and conflict. There will no longer be armies that guard borders and, you know, security at the airport. You know, you won't have to, you know, go in there and stand and spin and raise your arms and, you know, your leg and take off your shoes and your belt and everything else you can find that's metal. And, you know, all these kinds of, none of these problems will be there in those days. The Lord will deliver us from all of these things. And what a wonderful city, a city in which there will be beautiful river of life. Where there will be life will never be purposeless and empty. There will always be a vibrance and a joy, new things to experience and to satisfy. What a wonderful city that will be. And so it is an incomparably beautiful city. It is also incomparably satisfying. It is also, it says, incomparably ameliorating. Why do the nations need healing? Well, one thing healing indicates is that there is no sickness. There won't be any more sickness in heaven. There won't be any more sadness. There won't be any more of doctors and hospitals and all of those things. We will be well, and we will live well. In Eden, the tree of life was the source of physical life. If there was ever a problem, all Adam had to do was take a bite of the tree, and he was healed. But you know, that tree is going to be there in the New Jerusalem. Jesus tells us there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7 that to those who are faithful, He will give to eat of the tree of life. We will have that fruit and we will be removed from all manner of problems. There will be 12 different varieties of fruits. And there may also be many trees, many other kinds of trees. And all of these trees will be there to meet our physical needs. And everything we need will be abundantly supplied. And so we have a city that has within it beauty beyond what we can even hardly imagine. We have a city that is satisfying. A city that takes away all of the problems. What a wonderful place. But then I think it will be a city that will display an incomparably beautiful nature. Now, we don't think of a city as being a place to look at nature. Generally, you know, you think of a city as being buildings and streets and houses and such as that. Now, you know, we know that cities do have parks in them, and parks have nature, and of course some of these parks are quite beautiful. You know, you can think of the park there, Central Park in New York, which is quite lovely, and has even rocks and things that you can climb, and lakes, and, you know, it's a very lovely park. Well, the New Jerusalem is a city much, much, much larger than New York. Recall that the city is, depending on what you do with the numbers, 1,500 miles square, and it's 1,500 miles high. Now, if God just took half of that space and gave us a room, we'd have plenty of space. If half of the city then is left for the throne of God and the river of life, and you've got all kinds of room. Can you imagine a river that flows from the throne of God? It could go 1,500 miles long. That's as long as the Mississippi River. There's a lot of natural beauty along the Mississippi. Here's a city that has room to have a 750-mile-high mountain range. That's pretty big, isn't it? I mean, that would be water that's almost going straight downhill. You know, if it was running that steep, who knows? There could well be beautiful canyons. There could be canyons bigger than the Grand Canyon. Rapids. Maybe we'll get to ride rapids on the River of Life. I don't know. Maybe there'll be beautiful fish and beautiful trees lining the sides. Places where the water is smooth. It's described there in Ezekiel as a water that is, you know, shallow as it comes out of the throne. You know, you can walk so many cubits and it's up to your ankles and so many cubits and up to your knees and so many cubits up to your waist and so many cubits up to your, you know, up to your head, and then it's over your head and then, you know, back down. So here's a, you know, a broad and wide river flowing. There'll be places where it's gentle, where we can play and enjoy. There's places, I'm sure, where there will be beauties beyond what we can conceive. I mean, the Grand Canyon is a beautiful thing to see. As you stand there on the rim and look out, I've never had that joy, but I've looked at pictures. I'm not sure that's quite as good. But anyway, you know, you stand and look out. It's very beautiful. Lovely. We like to look at those kinds of things. I've stood along the New River Gorge in West Virginia there, and a beautiful place. You know, stand there on one little park there at the end of North Mountain, and you look out over the river. There's the Gauley River coming in one side and the New River coming in the other side, and they make the Kanawha River. And you can look down over the water coming in and flowing in the rocks and the rapids, and, you know, then look over on the mountains. Very lovely, very beautiful. You know, there's room for all of that in heaven, in that city. What a beautiful place it will be as the waters flow from the throne of God. Those waters, I think, speak of the fact that there will be natural beauty even in heaven, even in the city of the New Jerusalem. Who's to say what glories are there? What wonders will be displayed? Certainly, there will be parks. Certainly they will display the glory and the handiwork of God in a way that is even more glorious than it is done today. Today, nature is beautiful, and yet you see the ravages of sin. You see destruction and decay. There you'll not see those things. There'll be no harmful insects and ravenous beasts. There won't be dangerous snakes and ticks and flies and mosquitoes and all those other pesty things that harass and harangue us. No, they'll all be happy and joyful. They will all be blessed. What a wonderful place that will be when the display of an incomparably beautiful nature is made for us. This is what heaven in the New Jerusalem is like. It is a city that is enormous and yet beautiful. It is a city that has rivers and natural wonders that has trees and blessings and parks and all manner of things. You know, I know the verse doesn't necessarily apply, but it hasn't entered into the mind of man what God has made for them that love Him. And yet, God expects us to think about these things. He expects us to get an eye vision of what it would be like. Because He put these things in the Scriptures. He wants us to meditate on them day and night. He expects us to think about that and say, all right, He uses this word, it means something. And to get a picture and a vision of what heaven will be like. Why does He want us to do that? Because the great difficulty of the Christian life is to stay on the firing line. It would be easy if the battle was but for a day. If all you had to do was go and serve the Lord for a year and then you were done, it would be simple, wouldn't it? The hard part is to day by day, week by week, year by year, continue to serve the Lord, to be faithful, to carry forward and to keep on going, to not quit the Bible reading, not quit in prayer, not quit in memorizing Scripture, not quit in witnessing, not give up, but carry on for the Lord. And so God says, I'm going to give you a vision. I'm going to let you see what heaven is like. So you'll be encouraged to keep on going, to overcome, because he that overcomes will I give to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. God wants us to overcome. And so I encourage us, keep going for the Lord. Don't quit. Don't give up. The battle is not over. Today is the day of work. Today is the day of labor. Today we are called to go out into this world and win people to Christ and tell them about the throne and tell them about heaven and invite them in. Today is the day to work on our children and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Today is the day to continue our job for Christ. Whatever that task may be, whatever job you work in, to be faithful for Him, to be seen as a servant of the Lord in that place. Whether you work at the hospital or the factory or whether you work in the fields or wherever it may be, we are to be faithfully serving the Lord, a servant of Christ. Heaven awaits. Keep our eye on that prize as we press toward those heavenly gates. Let's pray. Father,